You're listening to Stand Out with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8 p.m. here on Radio Kerry. See it to be it on Radio Kerry with Ian O'Connell.
Now, you're very welcome to the show tonight. I hope I find you well on this Wednesday evening. Tonight's show is episode 7 of a series that I've been doing over the last couple of weeks called See It to Be It, brought to you by Radio Kerry and funded by commissioning a man with the television licence fee. I'm delighted to say I have not one but two guests in studio joining me tonight on Stand Out with myself, Ian O'Connell. My two guests are Antoinette O'Sullivan and Rena Blake. They are involved in Kerry Social Farming, which was established in 2013 and operating social farms since 2014. Kerry Social Farming was founded on principles of equality, social inclusion, voluntary community development and collaboration. It is currently one of two projects operating the voluntary model of social farming in Ireland, in that farmers are not paid for their time with participants, and it's locally led community-based shared service and provides farming and social inclusion opportunities to people with physical and intellectual disabilities, all within their local communities. Sit back and enjoy the show. Antoinette and Rena, it's my first time having two people on the show for an interview at one time, so it's the seventh episode of the series that I'm doing, See It to Be It. Do you want to just tell me a bit about your childhood growing up? What were your interests?
Obviously, when I'm born, I was born with April Kingdom, and I got it at birth. And April Kingdom is a genetic disorder that affects the skull, the hands, the feet, the teeth, the head. And when I was born, I had to have a lot of major operations to correct. For example, I had two major operations in my head.
Yeah.
To help it to grow, my brain to grow, because yeah, my skull would have been too small,
yeah,
and it'd be pressured, so I had to have major operations. Then I had major operations in my fingers in order to separate them. But like that, living with April Kingdom all my life, and I don't let it stop me from living my life. I'm like everyone else. I like to get treated like everyone else.
And I suppose that's a handy thing as well, because there's so many different people, be it physical or intellectual disabilities that are out there. And, you know, it's great for getting over it and doesn't let you define it. And that's, I think, it's a very important thing. And I think that's the whole point of the series. You can be an example to others. And did you have an interest in any, I suppose, sports or anything growing up? We'll move on to the...
Well, I was always outgoing. When I was younger, I was always on the road. I was always out playing with my friends. I knew I was different than my friends. I knew I had something, but when you were like 6 or 7, you don't know. I didn't know that I had a disability. Because I knew I had something, because when you're in and out of hospital, you're like, why are you going through all these things? And then, at the same time, I'm just probably happy that I got accepted, because, you know, accepting is a big word.
It is, yeah.
And within the family, I was, you know, I was loving and cared, I was cared for, I was loved. I had 8 sisters, so I'm the youngest, so I get away with everything. It was hard growing up. We would have to have all my operations in Dublin, we would travel up and down to Dublin, and I would be, these surgeries would be massive. You know, it takes no noses of us.
When you're so young as well.
Yeah.
I suppose, Rena, your own story, we'll move on to the Kerry Social Farming now in a minute, but I suppose growing up yourself, were you always, I suppose, involved in farming?
Hello, how are you doing? My name is Rena Blake, and we're both from Ballybunion.
We're both
Ballybunion girls. I was, in a way, actually, because I grew up with my grandmother and grandfather in East End Ballybunion, and from an early age all my life, I always say my grandmother was the original market gardener. She grew vegetables for a living, so I ended up all my summers bagging potatoes, picking onions and selling vegetables with her from a donkey and car and a pony and car.
Really?
Even at my age, going around town selling them. So yes, gardening and growing has always been from my childhood right up to now, yes.
And I suppose when did because when I was doing a bit of researching, it was established in 2013, wasn't it, Kerry Social Farming?
Yes, Kerry Social Farming is going almost 11 years now,
yeah.
Really. It's a phenomenal initiative. We have like 44 farms at the minute.
Really?
70 participants all over Kerry, north, south, east and west. It's like, I suppose I've been, Antoinette and I have been social farming together. At the Barnaway since 6 years in July, actually. Yeah. We're 6 years next month.
6 years.
And it's a 6 year journey that has really changed over that.
Time.
Like, cause like in the beginning it was new to both of us,
yeah.
And now we're both kind of old hats at it. Like, this lady could run the place for me now. She knows as much about it,
yeah,
as I do. But our relationship and friendship has grown out of it, actually. So I would even consider ourselves buddies now. Like, we
hang out. And that's a thing, isn't
it? It's fabulous. It's
it is.
Yeah.
And like, it goes for anything, any kind of group, yeah, for people in the community. You know, friendship and building,
yeah,
relationships is a big thing as well, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And Antoinette, I suppose, when did you, what was the start? How did you hear about Kerry Social Farming?
I heard it to St. John of God.
Yeah.
I go to a day service in the soul.
Yeah.
And I suppose some of my friends have gone social farming, and I always wanted to try social farming, but when Rina's farm came about, I thought, yeah, that would be interesting because it's not far from me. So when I first heard of it, I thought I would be working with cattle and animals. Like, when you say farming, you think of milking cows and,
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
But when I went on the first day of social farming, it was a lovely morning, and I went to see the farm because we were giving like an intro. So I went to Rina for the Friday morning at the time. And I looked around and I said that this is a beautiful farm because it's all gardening, and we had hens at the time, there was like calves. And our first day of farming, I was really loving what I'm seeing. So after one day, I said, I'm going to love it here because it's very peaceful. And you know what? When life is so busy, like when you're dealing with traffic,
yeah,
and you're dealing with business around you, and when you come to this place, it's so peaceful.
You kind of go into a different, I suppose,
yeah,
kind of zone
so
out.
So peaceful, and I love like gardening. I love working with my hands.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when I said at the start, I was born with Apple Kingdom, and when I was born, they were fused together.
Yeah.
So when I quit, you know, I loved working with my hands, and I appreciate my hands more now because I'm working with farming, and sometimes I wear gloves, more times I don't, because, you know, when you're working with soil, it kind of, you know, you're getting your fingers working.
Working, yeah.
And yeah, I absolutely love it, and I'm 6 years there now.
You're at it together the last 6 years.
I call it boot camp because sometimes we be like cleaning out at the start of the year, we'd be cleaning out hen sheds, and now it's all changed now.
Yeah.
And I got to see all the changes within the 5 years, and now where the hen house is, we turned that into a house, and that's when Brilliant Ballybungan then came along, and we turned the whole, it's transformed everything, and we get to meet up once a week. We'd be welcomed with tea and scones, and then we would, this would all be in a house where the hens used to sleep.
Go away.
And it's amazing. It's a lovely project to be a part of, with social farming and Brilliant Ballybungan. Like, I've learned so much in the last 6-7 years now, because I'm with Ballybunion, and I've learned so much, and I'm tasting food that I haven't
never had before.
And this would be food that we'd be growing in the garden. And yeah, it's amazing.
It is. And Rena, like you said, she could nearly run it herself at this stage.
Are you taking over again? Yeah, yes.
Are you aware of, I suppose, like Antoinette said, the kind of development from when she started up until now? Would you be very aware of kind of environment friendly and climate change and that?
Absolutely, but I must tell you one beautiful story. When Antoinette started with me, I suppose it's because of her digits, or it's because of. But we did a lot of seed. We do a lot of seedlings in the beginning of the year, and we would spend a lot of time doing propagation, probably from February right up until now. And I said within the first couple of visits that she was coming to the farm, I said to Lisa, I said, whatever Antoinette has in her hands, they're magic, because everything grows that she plants. Like, and then I was watching her, and then I came to the realization it was taking Antoinette so much energy and concentration to pick each individual seed out of her hands and place it in the pods that she was doing with such intention that it was giving it energy. Whereas I'm always in a hurry. Like, I could have 15 seeds and I'm splashing them here, there, and everywhere. And
you take it for granted,
and I take
you?
It for granted. Yeah. But whatever intention that she had in her hand, she can transfer it into plants.
It's quite a
I was calling her Miracle Girl for ages. Like, I was keeping on my on the Fridays for Antoinette to be propagating, because I said, like, it's zero waste here with the
zero
Antoinette.
Waste here.
And to answer your question about biodiversity. Yes, I suppose our farm, Lisa and I, and the barn away, is all about sustainability, biodiversity. All of the initiatives we're trying to do in Barna is about that. Like, we've created a native woodland of about 11,000 trees now at this
really?
Stage. We have a woodland walk that the guys in social farming have helped us develop over time. Because we had to make it so user friendly in terms of styes and walks and pathways that, like, and Antoinette, about 5-6 months ago, as she was saying, we were running out of space in one of our sheds, so we converted the old kind of outdoor chicken stall house into a kind of an outdoor seating area plus, and we needed it to be wheelchair accessible. So Antoinette sat down on a Friday and drew out the whole patch and everything around, and that's the template we used to build it.
Very good.
Yeah. So, and we brought in a wheelchair, and we had Antoinette in it, and we pushed it around.
Try it out.
She came back and she sat down and did everything, and it's actually fabulous. It's brilliant.
And it was all up to scratch, Antoinette.
Oh, yeah, because wheelchair accessibility, and you want to go up there now with my... Because when I saw Lisa's drawing, she had raised beds near the house, and I came along anyway, and I said, Lisa, that's not going to be possible, I'm sorry to say. So, wouldn't it be better if we moved the raised beds outside, so that, say, when we go out, come out of the door, that you're going straight down on the footpath, and the wall here, we can put a railing, so that people can hold on to the railing, and then at the other side of the footpath, we have the raised beds,
And like you said, it has to be accessible.
Absolutely, yeah. And like, that's one thing. Like, I think that's been a co-creation of both of us, or all of us there. But, and the raised beds really work. Everything seems to work. And we still have Antoinette's drawing that she did the first day. So it's like, so, and it's lovely when stuff like that happens. It's kind of the magic moments, really, isn't it?
And I suppose you've done a bit of work with Radio Kerry as well, Antoinette.
We did a week of training on Kerry Social Farm, and did a week of training.
With Joe McGill, wasn't it?
Yeah, Joe McGill and Connie. And we did a week of training, and I loved it, every minute of it. Then I went down and did the, 8 weeks of...
Yeah.
8 weeks of Radio Kerry training. And I loved everything of it. I loved this. I loved, when I say I love this, I love trying new things, because I'm always out there trying new things.
That's important, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's important because, like, a lot of people say, when you're born with a disability, we can't do this or we can't do that. But I can turn that around and to hang on now a minute. I can't do it.
Prove them wrong.
I can't, you know, because, from that thing, it was just a learning experience, and yeah, enjoyed it.
And you done one of the many voices as well, about joining the gym. We were talking about that before we came on here. Do you wanna tell us a little bit about that?
Well, 2 years ago, it would be 2 years in August, that 2 years ago, after COVID, you know, after lockdown, I was a bit of, well, I suppose I was, let's say, COVID did a lot of damage, and when lockdown kind of, when I'm not meeting people and I'm not meeting, everything was closed and stuff. So
it was a hard time, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was hard.
With the feelings that during COVID, after that 2 years, I needed to lose weight.
Yeah.
So anyway, I joined the gym 2 years ago, and from that, I was working with personal trainers, Thomas and Leonard. And from there, I was working on getting a bit healthier, eating a bit healthier, and now this year, the last 2 years have taught me how to look after myself, and I suppose from the moment that I walked into the gym, they were very friendly with people with disabilities.
Yeah.
And when I went in for my consultation, I wanted to lift weights, and it's impossible. It's very good because they had special hooks, and that I was able to do the normal weights like everyone else at the gym. And I was lifting deadlift. At the start, I was lifting 20 to 30 kgs. And then it's same with the barbell squat. I was lifting 20 to 30, 40k, and then next minute we started to build that up, and today I'm lifting 100kg in the deadlift, and the barbell squat 85, and it's an achievement, because I thought I would never lift weight like that, because with the special hooks that I'm wearing and the support behind me to lift weight, I'm flying it now.
Talking about, like you said there, fitness and stuff, I was reading an article you'd done a bit of a fundraiser. Was it for the children's hospital?
Yeah,
that's close to your heart, is it?
During lockdown, everything was closed. There was no day service, there was no social farming, there was nothing. Everything was closed down, and I couldn't meet up with anyone. And I said, do you know what now? Setback. It was going to be a coffee virtual morning on Zoom, but then I said, coffee involves nice cakes and stuff. So I said, is it 4 years I shared on the Instagram? 4 years ago, I wanted to do a challenge for Temple Street Hospital, because Temple Street did a lot for me when I was younger, up to the ages of 16. And I thought this was going to be a nice idea, going out every day, going for walks, 100kg walking challenge. No, not 100kg, but 100 kilometers walking challenge. Anyway, I took off and I set up a GoFundMe so that people can donate and support me. And I was off doing my walks every day. And at the end of the walk, I raised over 4,130. It was
brilliant.
The final. Yeah.
And like you said, that Temple Street, it's close to your heart, because you were obviously as a young person.
It will always be close to my heart. And when I posted that was it yesterday or Monday, I think, I posted this on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And when I thought about it, I said, I forgot to go up there, because they said after COVID, you can come up and
present
take
it.
Pictures.
Yeah.
I forgot, totally forgot to do that. But yeah, they so appreciate it. And it will always be in my heart.
Yeah.
Because they've done amazing work up there. They're incredible. The consultants, the doctors, the nurses, they were incredible. And I wouldn't be here today only for them. And I wouldn't have what I have.
Yeah.
Because, like, everyone takes things for granted.
Of course.
I'm always appreciated. I'm always, like, so thankful for the work that they've done.
They do brilliant work up there. And, Rena, like Antoinette said there, during COVID, everything, like, looking back at it now, it was only something popped up on my Facebook memories of someday I was out in the back garden in a way when it was locked down completely. Obviously, that was hard for everyone, but for Kerry Social Farming, I suppose, when that was stopped, how did keeping it going, I suppose, until like the likes of Antoinette came back? What was that like?
Do you know, we were quite lucky with Kerry Social Farming during COVID. Yes, we did kind of, like, on the travel bans when the 2K was in place, we didn't do it.
Yeah.
But on farms where we could be outdoors, we came back faster than the rest of the rest of society, really. So if once the travel ban was lifted and you could go, if the farmer and the participant were willing, you know, it all depended on what was the situations, we did try open up or go back as soon as possible. Because of the isolation, because, like, I think COVID did an awful, it isolated an awful lot
it
of
did.
People. And even today, I still see people struggling from it, particularly older people and vulnerable people, like with disability or whatever. Like, you're already isolated and vulnerable anyway, so to be, you know, to be more cut off, it was a rough time. And we did the social distancing on the farm. We had got vests saying Kerry Social Farming, we are social distancing. And we made sure if we had tea and coffee, everything was outdoors.
Yeah.
So we tried to keep it going as much as we possibly
can. As possible.
Yeah, and I was just listening to Antoinette there, and I was thinking, she's one of the most inspirational characters I've ever come across.
Absolutely.
And you know what they do, the local heroes challenge, is like, you certainly are it. She walks and talks it, and you're probably the most bubbliest and happiest person I've ever come across. I haven't seen you in a bad mood ever, but I'm sure you have your moods. I'm sure they're there. But you keep the bright side out there, Antoinette, which is pretty amazing.
The whole point of the interview, seemed to be, is we talked about there. Do you want to just mention on your own story growing up with dyslexic?
I suppose I've had maybe a different journey than Antoinette, but I can empathise or on a different level. I know exactly where she's coming from. Like, I struggled quite. I suppose I got quite a profound dyslexia, so I struggled a lot in school. So in other ways, when she was saying she felt she was always on the outside, I felt I was always on the outside. Because I really loved school, but I loved it from a sociability side and from a sport side, because I love sport. But from an intellectual side, I was way at the back. I was always at the back of the class trying to hide and keep the head down so nobody would ever ask me anything. So I understand that part of not being accepted. And even today, like, you know, intellectual disabilities is not something people talk about a whole pile, because it's almost an invisible.
It's not visible, yeah.
It's a disability of sorts. But I, like Antoinette, was very lucky. I had a grandmother and family who, like, I suppose I had two things going. I was a complete tomboy.
Yeah, yeah.
I was gardening, I had horses, I had greyhounds, and I had a dog. So that was my life. That and my gran was my whole entire life. And I just corralled myself around that. So I ended up leaving school very young. I ended up immigrating very, very young. And I got a whole new life in New York. And I always say, like, it was the best thing that my gran had ever done for me, to let me go at such a young age. Because the education I got from being abroad or from working with people, or the experiences I wouldn't have got him at home.
Yeah.
And it's like I do my best learning from being with somebody and watching and seeing and doing, and that's what I try to transfer with social farming. So the lads come in, we see what abilities they have and where they're at, and then we try to help each other along that road.
And I suppose overcoming all that, Rena, the dyslexic and coming on, did that give you, I suppose, more confidence to get involved in with Kerry Social Farming?
Yes. Yeah. When I heard about social farming first, I just thought, you know, like, I've been very fortunate in my life because I've had great people who have supported me, and I felt this is something I could do to give back for that. And like the thing with dyslexia, every time you meet somebody new or something else, I still hide it. I still stand back. I don't, you know, because I can walk and talk very, very good, and I can read pretty good. I can get away with an awful lot.
Yeah.
But if you actually sat me down and taught me to write a letter in front of you, or to write or to read something, like I one of the reasons I got suspended from school was I was trying to read something out loud and I just started stumbling and I just got so upset I ended up getting suspended for it. So I'd still be very guarded myself with that. But you know, other things I think nature and being outdoors and gardening and animals really became my
all goes back to not letting it define you, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And seeing a bigger picture and getting out, and that's why I think our educational system today, it only hones people into one form of learning, but there's multiple forms of learning, and I think we need to embrace that more. And I feel like a little bit we do that in social farming. I feel like Antoinette has had an education of beyond any educational system you would get in the school setting. You're constantly learning all the time too.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I think it goes for anything. I think always, even when I was doing the likes of, say, woodworking school before my accident, I'd rather have been doing the physical side more than the theory.
Yeah.
And I was always that way. I just wasn't academic at all. Like, I'd rather be out with a football at my feet. I suppose, do you want to talk to me now about, we were saying at the start you have bees and you're looking after that side. Do you want to tell us about that project?
Yes, I started and you can continue?
Yes.
So I suppose, like, in the on the barn away, like, as I had said before, like, our whole storyline, I suppose when I got Barna first, I wanted an open farm, and in a way now we kind of have an open farm, but it's a biodiversity open farm, and we have the bees, beehives, we've got like the trees, we have meadows, and everything we do is around biodiversity and trying to bring people back into nature or introduce them to, and nothing that it is so exotic, it's just everyday. Like, Lisa has a line, my partner, she always has a line, just walk along your hedgerow or your ditch and see what's growing. And
absolutely,
what we're trying to do is to educate people or to get people to stop in your own local area and go for a walk and just see what's growing along your own little biosphere or in your own hedgerows. And that's really what the Barn Away is about.
It's
and
a brilliant quote, actually, Rena.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah, thank you. I stole that one off from Lisa, so I can't take credit from it. And I suppose that brought us on to the Brilliant Ballybunion. And the Brilliant Ballybunion is an initiative that we had applied for funding through Creative Ireland to do a kind of a art, creativity, food and sustainability project. Mm-hmm. And out of that we got the funding, and we got 15 collaborators from Ballybunion to work on this issue for 2 years. And Antoinette became one of our collaborators. So we see an awful lot of Antoinette.
Yeah.
So you can continue there.
So what can I say about that? Yeah. Well, when I was told about this project, this is Step Up for Social Farming.
Yeah.
And I said, sure, I might as well sign up, because it did take a few, like, talks about it, because I wouldn't have understand.
Yeah.
But when they explained it to me, what I'd be doing, and, of course, I love nature. I love the creative side of it,
yeah.
Yeah, so when I said, oh, so might as well give it a go anyway. So I filled up the farm things, and like that, I'm always open to trying anything new.
Things.
And I'm so glad I've signed myself up, because I wouldn't have known that I'd be learning way more than what I'm normally. Because with social farming, I'm there 2 hours, and with bringing Ballyboogie, I'm gay for a full gay.
Yeah.
So I know what a full gay is as Big a Bangaway, because from the time we meet to the time we finish, and by that time we have so much done in the space of hours, and like, it's something that I am so grateful to have on our doorstep, because not everything you see on a day-to-day basis, but when you come to this place one day a week, and when you leave us, you're a changed person.
It's kind of
made you realise that, oh, I can have, I can bring my ideas to the table, and like we said, access to wheelchair access, and I'm brilliant at thinking of other disabilities
outside the box as well.
And I thought, yeah, I like it, and the team of us, there is a team of us there. There's about 15, and we get along very well.
Well together, yeah.
And we also work with two from Ukrainians as well.
Yeah, we've two from the Ukrainian
and
community.
And we
oh, really?
Learn from yeah. them, and they learn from us.
From you as well.
So, yeah.
And would I be right in saying, when I was doing a bit of research, geez, your own tomatoes and spuds.
We did the Ballybunion market for about 4 years.
4 years, yeah.
This year we're not going to do the market just because I'm too busy,
so
to be
busy,
honest.
Yeah.
And then the food that we're growing on a weekly basis, we're putting into the Brilliant Ballybunion project and we've other groups, like next week we've 3 groups coming. So we're just putting it into, we're trying to feed people. We're trying to get them to think about taste and what's grown locally and what you can source. So all like the Brilliant Ballywine, when they come, we do breakfast in the morning, we do scones and tea, then we do a salad or quiches. We try to make everything from what we have,
what we can source
very locally. And then like, I suppose on Friday now we're doing, we have Dr. Joanne O'Brien.
Oh yeah, yeah.
A marine biologist working with us on the project. So she's doing a whole theory on dolphin, and we're going dolphin watching, and we're going to try set up a citizen science day around that in Ballywinning for the whole day on Friday. About a month ago we did water quality, where we tested the streams around us, and we brought back that and we looked at microscopes microscopes, and we went through all that. And then we try to divide the day between the food. Like when we started this about 4 months ago, we were only growing the seeds. Now we're harvesting the first crops from all of those seeds. So the lads are getting to see, just like social farming, getting to see the whole seasonality of growing, but what you can do with it. And we try to bring in creative people then to help with the cooking. So it's really an art project, really. It's a big art project. And then Lisa Fingleton, my partner, is doing the whole creative art side of it, where we do, like, we went to Ballymaloe a few weeks ago and we had all 15 of us, and you were on stage and you were meeting Doreen Allen and doing everything. But it was all this art, creativity, food and sustainability. It's all rolled into one, isn't it?
The Moya Festival.
Yes, and we did the Moya Festival too, yeah. So. Yeah.
And we got to know how to make paper as well.
Go away? Yeah. Really?
Yeah, we were making a paper mache, and we were putting seeds into it. So it's just these beautiful projects, and we have 15 people all from Ballywinning, because we tried to keep everyone with the local who all knew each other but weren't really connected.
Yeah.
And now we feel we've made this incredible bond between everybody. It's actually really, it's really special. It's a special project.
Yeah. And I'm interested in that side of it, but we mentioned there the bees.
Yes, you love bees, don't you?
I'm fascinated by bees. Like I'd be on YouTube there, and then I'd see a thing about bees, and I could watch a documentary for an hour. What are you involved in doing that?
So we're quite small with our beehives. We've only got 2 beehives. So we kind of, what we're doing is we have orchards and apples, and then we were trying to, that's the cycle of life, the bee does the pollination.
Yeah.
And we needed more pollination for our apple trees. So it's kind of on that circular system that we're doing our bees. Like, there's a lot of work in beekeeping. I didn't realise it how much it entails. They could be up to 70,000 bees in a hive.
That's fascinating.
And then, like, about 2 weeks ago, I think, Lisa called me. She goes, the bees are after swarming. She goes, they're up on a tree. So she was literally up in the tree trying to cut down the swarm to catch it, to put it into a newt box. So, like, you know, and a few months ago, last year, Eon made frames. We, a couple of days in social farming, we put together the bee frames for the new. They took a lot, maybe 2 weeks in total, to put the new box, the boxes, to extend the boxes, you know, the new frames. So it's, and we've tried to keep all of that in as part of social farming and as a part of Brilliant Ballybunion too, just to see it like but I'm going to introduce you to the most amazing beekeeper I ever met this week, because I was at a place the other day that their whole life is a full-time bee. He's a full-time beekeeper who does it from Ballyhaig. So maybe that's the next interview.
Definitely, 100%.
I was blown away by it. I came out of there thinking, what an amazing buzz.
Yeah.
So you would love
literally.
It.
Literally. Yeah. I know you mentioned on that article I was telling you about, you like photography in nature, photography in general. What do you like, Antoinette, I suppose, away from the Kerry social farming? Do you have anything like, do you like watching movies or to chill out? What do you like?
I like going to the beach.
Yeah.
I spend, nearly every day I go to the beach, and I love listening to the waves.
Yeah.
I love sand. And, you know, because sometimes I like doing that as well. I like going to the gym as well. Because I like, you know, I just feel working in the gym is so important for our mental health.
100%.
And I found my happiness, and that's going to the gym, and that's, you know, all a part of a new person I am now.
Yeah.
Being very healthy and stuff. And I like shopping. I love spending money. And I'm very independent as well. I love independently. I like day trips and stuff.
Yeah, and that's important, isn't it? Having as much independence as you can.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It is. I suppose before we finish up, Rena, if
anybody... I just say was something else about internet. Last year, she became a homeowner.
So
she independently is living
good
on her own now, and has the most beautiful self-contained apartment, really, with a backyard that she's going to transform next year into a little edible garden.
I'm working on it.
Yeah, it's lovely.
That's
amazing.
My own garden, yes.
That's amazing. And like that, the new house, I suppose that's another example of the team of the show. See it to be it for you. You can be an example for others that might have a physical or intellectual disability.
Yeah.
And I suppose, Antoinette, what would be your advice for anybody that would be thinking getting involved in Kerry Social Farming?
Like that, if you want to get involved, don't be shy. Just reach out to someone, talk to someone. And if you're, I would say give it a go and see how you feel. Because I know at the start I was very shy.
Yeah.
I was very unsure. But when I got talking to people about it, and they got me interested, and I'm like, once you reach out to someone, because
that's
know,
the biggest step, isn't it?
Yeah, I know sometimes when we have disabilities, we think that we can't do it.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't like the word disability because it doesn't define you.
No.
So what I say is, If you're able, there's ways around social farming, there's ways around us. So once you reach out to someone and they'll get in contact with the group and they'll take on what you're interested in, and I just say go for it.
Go for it,
It has changed me an awful lot, and I'm loving it now.
To be fair to say that it changed a lot of your life, did it?
Yeah, it did. It changed it. I'm having more awareness of it now, and it's so important to grow like food and stuff, and you'd love it. Like, once you reach out to your support workers.
Get it.
You absolutely love it. And once the social farmers themselves, once you tell them your concerns and stuff, they will change, you know, they will talk you through it and they will make the garden accessible for you.
For the person. Yeah. Very good. And Rena, I suppose for anybody that does want to get involved, how would they reach out?
Absolutely. I suppose there's a couple of ways of getting involved. We have a Facebook page. We have our website, which is info at kerrysocialfarming.ie. That's our email address. There's a Kerry Social Farming web page. The phone number for SKDP is 0669427 24. I work out of the Listowel office in Listowel, so you can always pop into the Listowel office and just the NEWKD Listowel office and just say you wish to speak to Rena from Kerry Social Farming. It's very easy to get in touch with us. I would do a call out to any farmers who are sitting on the fence and thought maybe this was a nice initiative that you would like to get involved with, because we're always on the prowl or on the hunt for new farmers.
For new farmers, yeah.
Because we do have a big waiting list for Kerry Social Farming in terms of participants, and we do need some new farmers. So that would be brilliant if there's somebody who feels like this is something they could work with and get into.
It's a brilliant initiative as well, isn't it?
It's fabulous, absolutely.
And the website, actually, it has lovely pictures of, and there's videos as well I was looking of things that you do, and like Antoinette said, the farmers will make it kind of accessible and they'll kind of go over your needs and what you need to do.
Absolutely. Well, and we try very much to match the participant with the farmer and try and make sure that the farm is workable for both, you know, participant and farmer together. So, and that's a big part of what I would do for a job. And my colleagues, there's four staff now with Kerry Social Farming, that we're the facilitators. We're out there making sure that there's a good connection between farmer, the service provider and the participant.
The participants.
And you need that. You need that joint thinking to make it flow. And like for sustainability, for make it last.
And like Antoinette, she'll put Dermot Bannon out of a job drawing plans for houses.
Yeah, I'm going to play.
Thanks a million for joining me, Antoinette.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks a million.
Thank you.
Now, unfortunately, that's all we have time for tonight. I hope you all enjoyed the show and I appreciate you tuning in as always. A massive thanks to Antoinette and Rena for coming in tonight to have a chat about their own story and everything that they get up to on the farms and their involvement in Kerry Social Farming. It's a magnificent project, and it's great for people like people with physical and intellectual disabilities. They get the chance to do something that they like, and especially when they're able to get out on the farms and do their few bits of jobs and stuff, and with the animals and what be it, whatever they're doing on the farm. It's it varies day to day, I presume, like they said in the interview. There's always something to be done. I remember my uncle used to always say, there's always something to be done on a farm. And he'd either be down with the chickens or he'd be in with the sheep. So thanks a million to Rena and Antoinette for coming in tonight and having a chat about their own story. If you have any suggestions, questions or requests for next week's show, you can contact me through my Instagram, enoconnell321, or you can send me an email through my email address, ioconnell@radiokerry.ie. Stay tuned in here to Radio Kerry, because Brian Priestley is up next with That's Jazz. I'll be back at the same time next Wednesday night from 8 to 9pm. Until then, stay safe and mind yourself.
See it to be it on Radio Kerry with Ian O'Connell. You're listening to Stand Out with Ian O'Connell, Wednesday evenings from 8 p.m. here on Radio Kerry.